You're listening to The Cowboy Pages. Follow me, Christy Crowley, as I travel America in search of cowboy poets and their wisdom. Today's book, Santa Clarita, California, Chapter 3. That's a marketing tool. A continuation of my conversation with musician Adrian Buckaroo Girl.
Twisting and turning, jumping and kicking this. Daddy girl, the bronc couldn't budge you with her gold hair flying and her painted lips smiling. She cried, come on, boys, is this all you got? Bring it on.
Adrian Buckaroo Girl brings cowboy music to the next generation through media platforms like Facebook, her robust website, and her incredibly intimate blog. As she straddles this precarious position between old world music and new world media, I couldn't help but ask about the peaks and pitfalls of that negotiation. You know, because you're young and you are really connected in terms of media and all of that, you have a big online presence.
All the time.
and a big online personality. I'm sure that that gets tricky sometimes.
It does.
And I'm sure that there's a kind of fine line that has to be walked. I mean, in going through your blog, I was really, really struck by how honest you are and how much of you is...
Probably too much sometimes.
But, I mean, is it? Do you find that happens?
You know, honestly, I think... I'm a very open person, really, truly. I'm very weird. I'm a very weird person. I'm very artistic in lots of ways, and I do lots of different things all the time. And I like people, but I also need my alone time a lot. And the social media thing started out when I was 14 with MySpace. Oh, my Lord. Who still has a MySpace? I think there's still, like, Tom is out there going, we still here. We matter. But it was a big deal then. And it started out with my family being like, okay, well, this is, you know, all the books say that you got to have a social media presence, so mm-hmm. we're going to do this. And it started out with my dad doing it for me. And here's this big, tough, you know, 50-year-old cowboy writing for a 14-year-old
girl. In the voice of a 14-year-old
girl. Yeah, exactly. And then I started taking it over. And I think for a few years, it was kind of rocky footing. Like, it was me figuring out who I was, what I was doing. You know, for years, I was, what do I wear? What do I do? Am I myself? Am I guarded? Am I open? Do I let myself get hurt? I mean, I had literally cut my hair last year and got a death threat because of it. People are weird. They're going to do weird things. Do I want to give them permission by putting myself out there to say and do what they want? Or do I want to protect myself mm-hmm. to the degree that they don't know me as an artist? And it kind of changed last year, I think, maybe the year before, when I came out in a Western Horseman article about domestic violence and that I'm an abuse survivor. And nobody talks about that. In the Western world, you don't talk about it. In the cowboy world, cowboys are the good guys. They're the guys in white that ride white horses and hold open the doors for women and say yes, ma'am, and no, sir. They don't do that. And I came out and said that they do. And it's not a generalization, but I felt like it was important to speak up for the women in the Western world that I knew were experiencing the same thing I'd gotten out of. And it kind of took it out of my hands at that point. It wasn't that I could stay quiet. I couldn't stay kind of in myself. I had to be open mm-hmm. because after that first article came out, I started getting like a couple thousand messages a day on social media.
Whoa.
And I had men, women, 14-year-olds, 60-year-olds, people that you never would expect writing me going, this happened to me and I've never been able to talk about it until now because cowgirls aren't supposed to have this happen, or cowboys, or, you know, this isn't supposed to happen in the Western world. And so I think I just, at that point, it was like, you know, I don't even care. I don't even care what people think. I don't even care what you're supposed to be on social media. I'm just going to be honest and try and be as me as possible because I feel like people relate to that. And if it helps one person, then my job is done. because I feel like as an artist, you're given more responsibility than just to get up and sing a song. Who you are as a person is on display. Who you are to young people is on display. Who you portray to women is on display. I'm inspired by women all the time. I'm inspired and amazed by them all the time, and they make me go, oh, maybe I should be doing this, or I'll try to do this better, or oh, this is so cool. It makes me just want to do better in life. And if you can give some good to people, I really don't care if there's some bumps along the road or if some people are mean along the way. It's important. So I kind of think now it's kind of out of my hands, and I'm just kind of like, hey, this is me.
Yeah.
It's like talking to a bunch of girlfriends.
50 million girlfriends.
Exactly. It's a bunch of girlfriends.
Just as a sidebar, do you mind if we snap a few photos?
No, not at all. Is that cool? Oh, absolutely.
Okay. I'm going to fumble in some in forming this question, but you know, the other thing that's really clear in your kind of media presence is you clearly are someone who loves fashion. You're clearly someone who has a real look and a style, and you know, you love that and you talk about it, and it's a really cool thing.
Love clothes. I'm so girly.
I think there's a little bit of a struggle sometimes, particularly, well, there's a struggle for women, but I think as a young, mm-hmm. really beautiful, really fashionable woman, does playing that up make it harder to seem relevant as a musician?
Oh, totally.
And how do you negotiate that? And where do you, you know...
Very difficult. Very weird. Because... as a young person already in cowboy music, I am the minority. And as a woman who is young in the cowboy world, I'm a minority. So, and as a blonde, as you say, I'm very girly. And as a blonde, I'm, you know, it's kind of that whole Legally Blonde thing. It's not like we're discriminated against, but it's like, oh, you're a dinky blonde. Mm-hmm. What is that Dolly Parton song, Dumb Blonde? Yeah. Just because I'm blonde don't mean I'm dumb, you know? Yeah. I mean, there's kind of that assumption. Honestly, I've had people say that because I wear makeup when I work, you know, you're stupid, you're bad words,
because we can imagine them.
Yes, I'm going to let you imagine them.
Imagine what those might be.
Because there is this preconceived notion of what a cowgirl should be, mm-hmm. And I've really never liked rules, and I like being girly. I remember the first time I never wore makeup until I started going on stage. My sister had to force me to do it, but then I love history. Told you I love history. I read this thing about Cleopatra and her wearing makeup and how she used it to basically market herself to the people mm-hmm. of Egypt. And I thought, oh, that's a marketing tool. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I mean, this is going to sound terrible, but the only people listening to cowboy music are old people. Well, who do I want listening to my music?
Right.
I want the young people listening.
Right.
So they need to relate to me. So... go to Mac, baby. Let's go to Chanel. It's time to buy some makeup. And then I discovered that I loved it. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of a way to relate to the young people. And I think now, because I don't let it really bother me anymore, there's a lot of love about it and there's a lot of hate about it. But for me, it's an expression of who I am, the same way as my hat shape is. It tells something about me. I just have fun experimenting, and I kind of feel like I know who I am, I know what I'm capable of, intellectually I know who I am, and I know what I'm capable of in a discussion. I could sit down and talk about politics, international affairs, language, you know, religion, anything that you want to talk about, but I'm going to do it wearing lip liner. I mean, so for me, I'm very stable in who I am. I know who I am, so I just kind of don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a challenge, though. As a young woman today, you're told what you're supposed to be and how you're supposed to be that person. And if you're quote-unquote pretty or fashionable, you're automatically assumed to be shallow and dumb.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's hard too. I think, like, what do we, you know, what do we tell our daughters? What do we, how do we communicate the value mm-hmm. of, you know, of, mm-hmm. Of a life, like, of our own kind of persona too? I mean, I have a little girl that's in my life, a goddaughter, mm-hmm. and I, you know, I catch myself, like, about to say something, you know, like, you look so pretty in that dress. Like, does that really matter? I mean, it's good to say, you know,
does
you
just does it matter to say it? That, or does it matter to say you're so smart? What
well,
do you say to
right.
her?
Right, and yeah. I think, do I always express that?
Yeah.
Do I engage her in conversation
Absolutely.
About her dress or about the book she's reading?
Absolutely.
How am I, you know?
I think that's really a fine line. I don't know if you saw that blog post. I did a response to a gentleman a while ago about makeup.
We're going to stop here for just a minute so you can hear the blog post that Adrienne wrote, entitled An Open Letter from a Domestic Violence Survivor, March 6, 2016. To the gentleman who implied I was teaching the school children yesterday that they had to wear lots of makeup like I do to be pretty, this letter is not for you. It's for the kids, because you have a great point, a fantastic point, actually. I agree. My pink lipstick is not there because I feel that my true lip color is inadequate. I began wearing it after an abusive boyfriend left a scar on my lip, and I'm self-conscious about it. Third and fourth graders do not need to know this or see the scar. I fill my eyebrows because my hair has only now looked full without makeup after a phone book to the side of my head and then a nightstand left a scar through the hair. Call me weird. I thought it looked funny. I wear concealer under my eyes because I sleep about an hour and a half or 2 hours a night because of PTSD and being terrified of the night and the dark. Sir, I do not wear makeup because I believe I am not beautiful. I wear makeup because I'm strong enough to move on from my past and feel like a woman again, to feel beautiful and confident whether I'm wearing makeup or not. This is me without makeup. Kids, you are beautiful, handsome, and perfect just the way you are. I just don't think you're old enough to hear the real reason behind my makeup. You've still got a lot of growing up to do. XOXO, the barefaced girl. I'm wearing makeup because it makes me feel better about myself. It's not a mask.
Yeah. It's an enhancer, and it's a way of being professional as well, I think, sometimes. For me, I always think, oh, okay, I need to, you know, the way that you look, you know, that's the first thing people see, really and truly.
Yeah, I did an opera a long time ago. I was a dancer in opera, and we had this crazy makeup. So we were in this makeup all day long for uh-huh. like 8 weeks or something,
oh
and it
gosh.
Was insane. And I realized there was a certain point where I didn't recognize myself without it, and I thought, oh God, this is how this happens. This
oh,
is how
wow.
the Tammy Faye Baker happens.
Oh my
you just
gosh.
keep loading it up, and then you
with a trowel.
Yeah, and then you can't get off the wheel.
I think the difference comes when you're okay either way. I love it. I embrace it, love the makeup side of things, but I think probably same as you. Right now, if you took all the makeup off and, you know, took out the weave and went and did, you know, whatever you're doing today without all of those add-ons, you'd be just fine because you know who you are as a person. If you're confident in yourself and you know who you are as a person, like for me, I like it, but... Heck yeah, I'll go out there with the dark circles
yeah,
under my eyes.
I wonder about the, what are we asking other people mm-hmm. to? You know, am I okay with it stopping at mm-hmm. the surface? Am I okay saying,
are they going to go deeper than that?
You know,
yeah.
it's fine that you love me because I look this way.
Yeah.
And then I have to keep it up.
Yeah.
You know, the weave has to stay on, the lipstick has to stay on, the eyelashes are glued on.
I love it when they come out.
But, you know, am I asking... Mm-hmm. that you love me without the makeup? Am I asking
yeah.
that you actually dig deep enough to yeah. really, really like the inside of me as much as the outside?
Yeah.
Really you know, what is that kind of rigor
yeah.
in that relationship?
It's hard. I mean, it's hard to be a woman in the 21st century. It really is. It's hard to be a girl.
It is.
And it's interesting how it changes down through the ages. I mean, I don't mean to make women out to be the, you know, the poor,
no,
but it
we
is.
No, we are suffering. We're non-suffering. We're always going to suffer. It's going to be like this forever.
But it's interesting to see, you know, you have different... just how nowadays I'm sure there are different questions about what makes a man and what's manly and what's, you know, masculine and all those different things. But, you know, you're kind of called to question who and what you are in different ways. It's amazing.
Yeah, it really is. Really cool. So you're in school now.
Yes, ma'am.
What's the future looking like to you? Are you planning on staying in music?
You know, I'm planning on staying in music. I've been doing a lot of co-writing lately, and I really enjoy that. I love the writing process. I love performing. So I'm probably about 9 months to a year away from graduating. That's rather...
Wow.
I'm really excited.
Now it'll so just excited. Be people asking you this question.
Yes.
What happens after graduation? What are you doing after graduation?
I am going on a ride across the United States from Mexico to Canada to bring awareness for domestic violence.
Wow.
Survivors. I'm going to go horseback, and I'm going to take about 7 months and go horseback and do a big ride. And after that, I'm going to go where the wind takes me, quite frankly. I've had a career for 10 years that I love. I'm going to continue to pursue that. I'm going to school for something that I am fascinated by, but doesn't demand that I automatically find a job out of college. I'm so lucky in that I have a quote-unquote job that I get to love, where I get to have a guitar and be on stage. So it's kind of where my heart takes me after this, I think.
There it is. Confidence. The belief in one's own ability. Adrienne is clearly a woman who knows herself and, more importantly, likes herself. But it's clear, too, her confidence has been hard won. I recently found myself in the Las Vegas airport sneaking through the everlasting security line, watching as a young woman was ogled again and again with each passing curve. She was wearing a lot of makeup. She was also wearing a very low-cut blouse. These things, plus her natural appeal, swirled in concert and drew a bunch of looks. My associate whispered to me about the attention she was receiving, and I found myself thinking, oh, she's kind of asking for it. I've been the focus of loud, ugly, sexually driven comments screamed at me across the street. I've been groped. I've been grabbed, leered at, and never once did I feel deserving of this attention. Never once did I feel I was receiving what I'd been asking for. And yet here I was, me of all people, so ostracized by sexual harassment, I've left jobs over it. I took a mental jab at this woman for having the audacity to what? Pull focus? So where's the line between enhancement for personal self-esteem and tool for outside attraction? I'm not sure. But maybe the truth lies somewhere outside our own intentions and in the heart of the beholder. If that's true, it gives me little control over what I might get back in return for my efforts to attract or push away. I don't know. But I do know that most of us could come closer to naming the winners of last year's Oscar Awards than we could to naming the winners of the Nobel Prize in Physics. I'm sure most of us could list the Kardashian children in order of age and not the one and only poet laureate of our nation. As we focus our attention again and again and again on physical beauty as the only requisite for success and power, we continue to reinforce its importance. And it's our children who are listening. I don't need to be hiding a scar to justify wearing lipstick. But I also don't want to feel like a harlot soliciting when I do. What makes me valuable? Whose opinion matters? Do I want that kind of attention? How much does their adoration cost? What Adrienne reminds me is that these are the questions we need to ask ourselves and the questions we need to answer for ourselves in order to find that confidence she's found. I'll keep asking myself these questions and more. And next time I'm playing with my goddaughter, I'll remember to ask her about the book she loves rather than tell her how pretty her hair looks. I'm thankful Adrienne reminded me my spirit should be stronger than my hairspray. And I'm thankful to you for listening. To learn more about our show, Cowboy Poets and Musicians, or to see pictures of my travels, visit thecowboypages.com.